Welcome to the second hour's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
A boom in apartment construction is helping to curb rents, but not all renters will benefit. The story was written by Alex Viega, Associated Press business writer. When viewed through a wide lens, renters across the U.S. finally appear to be getting some relief, thanks in part to the biggest apartment construction boom in decades. Median rent rose just 0.5% in June, year over year, after falling in May for the first time since the pandemic hit the U.S. Some economists project U.S. rents will be down modestly this year, after soaring nearly 25% over the past 4 years. A closer look, however, shows the trend will likely be little comfort for many U.S. renters who've had to put an increasing share of their income toward their monthly payment. Renters in cities such as Cincinnati and Indianapolis are still getting hit with increases of 5% or more. Much of the new construction is located in just a few metro areas, and many of the new units are luxury apartments, which rent for well north of $2,000. Median U.S. rent has risen to $2,029 this June, from $1,629 in June 2019, according to rental listings company Rent, which tracks rents in 50 of the largest U.S. metropolitan areas. Demand for apartments exploded during the pandemic as people who could work remotely sought more space or decided to relocate to another part of the country. The steep rent increases have left tenants like Melissa Lombana, a high school teacher who lives in the South Florida city of Miramar, with progressively less income to spend on other needs. The rent on her one-bedroom apartment jumped 13% last year to $1,700. It climbed another 6% to $1,800 this month when she renewed her lease. Quote, "Even the $1,700 was a stretch for me," said Lombana, age 43, who supplements her teaching income with a side job doing educational testing. Quote, "In a year, I will not be able to afford living here at all," end quote. Lombana's rent is now gobbling up nearly half her monthly income. That puts her in a category referred to as cost-burdened by the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development, denoting households that pay 30% or more of their income toward rent. Last year, the average rent-to-income ratio per household rose to 30%. This March, it was 29.6%. Lombana hasn't had any luck finding a more affordable apartment. While South Florida is one of the metropolitan areas seeing a rise in apartment construction, the units are mostly high-end and not a viable option. That scenario is playing out across the nation. Developers were rushing to complete projects that were greenlit during the pandemic-era surge in demand for rentals, or left in limbo by delays in supplies of fixtures and building materials. Nearly 1.1 million apartments are currently under construction, according to the commercial real estate tracker CoStar, a pace not seen since the 1970s. Increasing the supply of apartments tends to moderate rent increases over time and can give tenants more options on where to live. But more than 40% of the new rentals to be completed this year will be concentrated in about 10 high job growth metropolitan areas, including Austin, Nashville, Denver, Atlanta, and New York, according to Marcus Emilichap. In many areas, the boost to overall inventory will be barely noticeable. Even within metros where there will be a notable increase in available apartments, such as Nashville, most of it will will be in the luxury category, where rents average $2,270 nationally. Some 70% of the new rental inventory will be the luxury class, said Jay Liebig, National Director of Multifamily Analytics at CoStar. That will leave most tenants unlikely to see a big enough reduction in rent to make a difference, industry experts and economists say. Quote, I think we're in a period of rent flattening for 12 or 18 months, but it's certainly not a big rent decline, said Hessam Nagy, CEO of commercial real estate firm Marcus & Millichap. Quote, we're building a multi-decade record number of units, Nagy said. It's going to cause some softening and some pockets of overbuilding, but it's not going to fundamentally resolve the housing shortage or the affordability problem for renters across the U.S., end quote. The surge in rents has made it difficult for workers to keep up with inflation despite solid wage gains the past few years and exacerbated a long-term trend. Between 1999 and 2022, U.S. rents soared 135%, while income grew 77%, according to data from Moody's Analytics. Realtor.com is forecasting that rents will drop an average of 0.9% this year, but while down nationally, rents are still rising in many markets around the country, especially those where hiring remains robust. In the New York metro area, the median rent jumped 4.7% in June from a year earlier to $2,899, according to Realtor.com. In the Midwest, rents surged 5.6% in the Cincinnati metro area to $1,188 and 6.9% to $1,350 in the Indianapolis metro area. The current spike in apartment construction alone isn't going to be enough to address how costly renting has become for many Americans. Quote, for the rest of the 2020s, rents will continue to grow because millennials are such a big generation and we're very much in the hole in terms of building housing for that generation, said Daryl Fairweather, chief economist at Redfin. Quote, it will take many good years of new construction to build adequate housing for millennials, end quote. The bigger challenge is building more workforce housing because the cost of land, labor, and navigating the government approval process incentivize developers to put up luxury apartment buildings. Expanding the supply of modestly priced rentals would help alleviate the strain from so many new apartments targeting renters with high incomes, quote, although additional subsidies will be needed to make housing affordable to households with the lowest incomes, researchers at Harvard University's Joint Center for Housing Studies wrote in a recent report. Despite the overall pullback in U.S. rents, Joey D. Girolamo in Pembroke Pines, Florida, worries that he will face more sharp rent increases in coming years. Last year, the web designer left a two-bedroom, two-bath townhome he rented for $2,200 a month to avoid a $600 a month increase. This year, his rent went up by $200, a nearly 10% jump. Quote, that blew me away, said D. Girolamo, age 50. I'm just kind of dreading what it's going to be like next year, but especially 3 or 4 years from now, end quote.
Bell family has storied history in Odessa. A bit of history was shared and made during the Odessa City Council meeting Tuesday night with a generous donation from one of Odessa's oldest families. Larry Bell and his family announced a few months ago they wanted to donate 100 acres to the city so it can build a $50 million sports complex in the Parks Bell Ranch area north of Baudry Road. The 80 to 100,000 square foot complex will feature 20 volleyball courts, 10 basketball courts, and a track, plus 8 to 12 mile multi-purpose fields for soccer, football, and lacrosse, and up to 8 baseball/softball fields. City officials hope the complex will be paid for by corporate sponsorships and private donations. A move was made in that direction Tuesday to set up a nonprofit organization that will be named in honor of Larry and Ellen Bell's late daughter, Amy Bell. The nonprofit will exist to accept donations for the private-public partnership to build the sports complex. This will be the largest partnership since the Toby and Sandra Eoff partnership with the city of Odessa to create the Marriott in downtown Odessa. Larry Bell told Odessa's city council that it is important to keep the legacy that our parents and grandparents cared deeply about the community and taught us to give back to where you came from. He said his family has built a wonderful life here and that it is important to give back and to pay it forward. UFOs, oil and stocks hit new highs. By Dennis Elam. Navy pilots report UFO sightings. Mitch McConnell and Dianne Feinstein are having senior moments. Hot streak of 13 up session in the Dow ends yesterday. Horror movies from Disney and others. And no rubber stamp for Hunter. Judge suggests he get a job. Barbie and Oppenheimer are big box office. No lack of news this week. Let's take a look. Dow Transports made their high at 18,000 November 2021. The index reversed, falling to 12,000 last fall. Now the index has gone parabolic, zooming to 16,588, taking out 18,000, all numbers rounded. And a matching high in the industrials would be a Dow Theory buy signal. The industrials chart has been much the same look. The industrials briefly hitting at 37,000 fall 2021 and now have a run back to 35,469. And Friday, the industrials have regained most of the Thursday afternoon loss. The Fed raised the overnight rate another quarter point. The market seems not to care, but the yield curve remains inverted. Translation, the two-year interest rate is still higher than the 10-year rate. 2-year rate is 4.9%, while the 10-year is 100 base points lower at 3.9%. A market axiom is that an inverted yield curve precedes a recession. Yet, stores are returning to strip malls. Ups and FedEx are busy, but the cost of lunch has gone to $9 for a burger, drink, and fries. Casual dining prices have moved from $10 to about $15. Our call a month back for a rally in oil prices was spot on correct. Oil prices have risen from $70 level to $80. Expectations are for higher prices as the hot weather has created more demand for energy to power air conditioners. Disney's Haunted Mansion seems to suffer from too much digital the last half hour. The mood seems more right for Barbie and Mission Impossible Dead Reckoning. With senior politicians McConnell and Feinstein wilting under the lights, Elon Musk calls for a constitutional amendment. Musk did not specify what it would do, but speculation would be an age limit for Congress. The Constitution vision was that the citizen legislator would go home. Truman and Ike did. But since then, not so much. Mega Millions jackpot climbs to $1.05 billion after another drawing without a big winner. The Mega Millions jackpot climbed to an estimated $1.05 billion Friday night, only the fifth time in the history of the game that the grand prize has reached into the billions. No one managed to beat the massive odds and match all six numbers for Friday's estimated $940 million jackpot. The numbers drawn were 5, 10, 28, 52, 63, and the gold ball, 18. There have been 29 straight draws without a Mega Millions jackpot winner since the last grand prize ticket on April the 18th. The $1.05 billion prize up for grabs in the next drawing Tuesday night would be for a sole winner choosing to be paid through an annuity with annual payments over 30 years. Jackpot winners almost always opt for a lump sum payment, which for Tuesday's drawing would be an estimated $527.9 million. The potential jackpot is the fourth largest in the game and the fifth over $1 billion, Mega Millions said in a statement early Saturday. Although there were no jackpot winners, one ticket in Pennsylvania was worth $5 million, and another in the state connected for $1 million. There also were $1 million winners in Arizona, California, and New York, Mega Millions said. It has been less than 2 weeks since someone in Los Angeles won a $1.08 billion Powerball prize that ranked as the sixth largest in U.S. history. The winner of the prize is still a mystery. Lottery jackpots grow so large because the odds of winning are so small. For Mega Millions, the odds of winning the jackpot are about 1 in 302.6 million. Winners also would be subject to federal taxes, and many states also tax lottery winners. Mega Millions is played in 45 states, Washington, D.C., and the U.S. Virgin Islands. Residents are at a loss after newspaper that bound community together shuts in declining coal county. Welch, West Virginia. Months after Missy Nestor ended the Welch News 100-year run, she can barely stand to walk through the office doors of the newspaper her mother taught her to read with, growing up in West Virginia's southern coal fields. It's still too painful. The Welch News owner and publisher's desk is covered with unpaid bills and her own paychecks, a year's worth. She never cashed. Phones that used to ring through the day have gone silent. Tables covered with typewriters, awards, and a century's worth of other long-abandoned artifacts are reminders that her beloved paper has become an artifact, too. Wiping away tears, Nestor said she wishes people understood why she fought so hard to protect the last remaining news outlet in her community and why it feels like the people left behind by the journalism industry are often those who need it most. Our people here have nothing, said Nestor, 57. Like, can any of y'all hear us out here as screaming? In March, the McDowell County Weekly became another one of the thousands of U.S. newspapers that have shuttered since 2005, a crisis Nestor called terrifying for democracy, and one that disproportionately impacts rural Americans like her. Residents suddenly have no way of knowing what's going on at public meetings, which are not televised, nor are minutes or recordings posted online. Even basic tasks like finding out about church happenings have become challenging. The paper printed pages of religious events and directories every week, and that hasn't been replaced. Local crises, like the desperately needed upgrade of water and sewer systems, are going unreported, and there is no one to keep disinformation in check, like when the newspaper published a series of stories that dispelled the rumors of election tampering at local precincts during last year's May primaries. It was like a heartbeat, like a thread that ran through the community, said World War II veteran Howard Wade, a retired professor specializing in Black history. Sitting on a rocking chair in pajama pants in his ranch house at the base of lush green hills, Wade said he hasn't read any news since the paper stopped printing. He's worried about the county history the newspaper chronicled throughout his life. At 97, he was born 3 years after it opened its doors in 1923. The decline of American newspapers is well documented. The people most impacted tend to be older, low income, and less likely to have graduated high school or college than people living in well-covered communities. For McDowell residents, the news was still a shock. Many said they didn't realize how much they depended on the paper until it was gone. Sarah Hall, the first black prosecutor elected in McDowell County in the 1980s, said it's tragic when any community loses its newspaper. But for communities like hers, it's detrimental. The 535-square-mile county is dominated by rugged mountain terrain where residents live miles apart in hollers connected by winding roads and no interstate access, leaving people isolated. Cell and internet service is inconsistent or non-existent, and there are no locally based radio or television stations. We're in a unique situation because our community is unique, she said. We have no other substantial way of communicating. It bothers Hall not to know about decisions county commissioners are making with taxpayer money, and she misses the legal notices the paper published informing residents about developments like utility rate increases. With the school year set to start, she's worried families won't know about a ministry program in early August providing free school supplies. For Nestor and her staff of three, the grief of closing the paper has felt impossible to confront after years of sacrifices, both financial and personal. Nestor took out a loan and scraped together all the money she could in 2018 to save it. The crumbling building with a caving roof, cracked walls, and a 1966 Goss printing press in the basement. The Welch News team felt buoyed as protectors of democracy in a place where people sometimes feel forgotten or overlooked by the rest of the country. Sprawling across the Cumberland Mountains of Appalachia, McDowell County was once seen as a symbol of American progress. The self-proclaimed heart of the nation's coal bin was the world's largest coal producer and attracted thousands of European immigrants and black families fleeing the Jim Crow South looking for work and a better life. In 1950, nearly 100,000 people lived in McDowell, and a fourth of that population was black, unconventional in the predominantly white state. The county earned the moniker the Free State of McDowell because of the lack of segregation and unprecedented black representation in government. Today, 80% of the 17,850 remaining residents are white, still making it one of West Virginia's most diverse counties. It's also the poorest, with some of the lowest graduation and life expectancy rates in the nation. A third of all McDowell County residents live in poverty. The per capita income is $15,474. Over the years, the county lost big box stores, schools, thousands of jobs and people, but it still had its newspaper, one that tracked government spending, published elections, spelling bee and basketball game results, and spreads with color, photos, and biographies of every member of the graduating class. Now, because many older residents don't use the internet, they are missing crucial information the newspaper would have reported on. A pandemic-era meal service for seniors was cut, and there was no easy way to inform residents. People who relied on the obituaries have struggled keeping up with loved ones' deaths. Now when people die, a lot of people don't even realize they're dead, said Deputy Magistrate Court Clerk Virginia Dickerson, 79, while on a break outside her office watching coal trucks lumber by. Dickerson, who delivered the paper when she was growing up, said losing the paper was like losing a family member. Anything that happened, usually in the community and anywhere in McDowell County, it would be in that paper. Without no paper, you can't find out nothing, she said. Paulina Breeden, who works behind the counter at the Soul gas station in the neighboring community of Maybury, said people still come in and ask about the paper. She's the one who has to inform them it's closed. They're often incredulous. They say, "Oh, really? Are you serious?" I mean, they are shocked, she said. Breeden said she trusted the information she read in the Welch News. You hear a lot, and you know, maybe in there, it's not the actual truth, she said of rumors around town. Let's just read the newspaper. The political and social economic implications of the newspaper's closure are widespread, but not always immediately visible. Although the county is now without a local news source, residents are no strangers to news coverage. Only by national outlets that focus on the poverty rate, opioid use, infrastructure woes, and the declining coal industry. The paper was a vital platform for residents to tell their story from their perspective, a lifeline for a community that's often been misrepresentative and misunderstood. Shaw Jenkins, a pharmacy owner who works down the street from the Welch News, said he feels national coverage of McDowell County and West Virginia in general is overly political, unfair, and often negative. But he never felt that way about the local newspaper. I never saw anything that really raised my hackles. I thought they were pretty much center line, which is the exception these days, he said, adding that he advertised in the paper. I wanted them to survive. Before Nestor took over in 2018, the paper ran summaries of local government meetings written up by a county employee. That changed when 32-year-old Derek Tyson, the paper's single reporter and editor, began covering meetings. The attention seemed to bother some local officials who would call late at night to grumble about stories. The city of Welch declined to comment on the newspaper's closure. Without the paper and its journalistic asking questions, residents are going to find it harder to stay informed about things that matter locally, Nestor said. I think that's unfair to the people that live in this community, she said. One of the major stories the paper was following for years is the work of the McDowell Public Service District, which focuses on upgrading systems in coal communities with aging infrastructure. For decades, some people in the county relied on mountain streams polluted with mine runoff because of disintegrating or completely absent systems. Others, like those in the majority black community of Keystone, lived under a boil water advisory for 10 years, a nearly unheard of length of time, until the district replaced the water lines under 2 years ago. Now, long-awaited federal support is expected to go out to communities with the passage of the historic Bipartisan Infrastructure Act, but the paper won't be there to cover it. The void created by the disappearance of the Welch News is being filled by cable news and social media, something that deeply concerns Tyson. Much of what he sees circulating locally on Facebook, Twitter, and other social media outlets is unverified. The newspaper used to act as a counter to that misinformation. During last year's May primary, rumors ran rampant on Facebook about election tampering after some residents arrived at longtime precincts on voting day to find their names missing from the poll books. Tyson wrote multiple stories digging into the claims and clarifying that the confusion was caused by an issue with the West Virginia Secretary of State's voter database. Although people were forced to vote in different locations or to cast provisional ballots, all votes were counted. During one meeting among local officials discussing the issue, a county commissioner said he believed the lack of daily news sources in the county contributed to the misinformation spread. He credited the Welch News for its work. When Nestor was raising her three children as a single mother in the 90s and 2000s, the county's older residents would stop by her house on surprise visits with meals and cash they'd tape to her front door. Many of the people who read the newspaper are aging, she said. During her time at the newspaper, delivery drivers would drop off bread and milk with the Welch News at some houses, along with other essentials. I saw keeping the paper going as a way to repay them, or to try to, for everything they did to take care of me, she said.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.